From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message from the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, entitled, Christ's Mighty Works of Grace in the City of the Curse. Jericho had been placed under a curse by God, yet it was rebuilt in defiance of God's command. On his way to Jerusalem to face crucifixion, the Lord Jesus passed through Jericho and performed several miracles of healing there. Here is a wonderful demonstration of God's grace to rebellious, ungodly people. Dr. Cairns will resume the message in a few minutes, but first he brings today's hot topic, Popular Music Pushes Booze, Drugs, and Immorality.
Consider the following from a Reuters report from Washington, 5 February 2008. U.S. popular music is awash with lyrics about drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. Medical researchers have reviewed the words of the 279 top songs of 2005 to estimate just how common they are. Their report showed a third of the songs had explicit references to substance abuse. About two-thirds of these references placed drugs, alcohol, and tobacco in a positive light by associating them with sex, partying, and humor, according to the team led by Dr. Brian Primack of the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. They calculated that with Americans aged 15 to 18 listening to 2.4 hours of music daily, they hear 84 musical references to substance use per day, and more than 30,000 a year. Close the report. Not wishing to run counter to the current views of political correctness, the doctor who led the inquiry and issued the report at once stated, it's not going to be feasible or even desirable to censor these messages. Probably a more empowering approach is to teach kids to analyze and evaluate the messages for themselves. This report deals with a major problem, and we should be grateful to Dr. Primack for producing the study, even though his suggested solution is weak and doomed to failure. The stark reality that we have to face is that the entertainment industry thrives on moral decadence and is the major instrument for causing the moral collapse of our nation's youth. The music industry has been incredibly successful in indoctrinating generations of Americans into adopting the depraved values. Poor word, but it's the one that's normally used. The depraved values of drugged-out, alcoholic, and immoral singers and musicians. There's nothing accidental in the concentration of popular music on the themes of drugs, booze, and illicit sex. These form the atmosphere that all too many musicians live in. It's the world they know, and it's the world they want our young people to live in. Unfortunately, they have been overwhelmingly successful in attaining their objective. The question is, how should we deal with the problem? The most obvious answer is to cut off the cancer at its source. But we're told that would be censorship. And we couldn't have that. We can have dead teens, drunk drivers, broken homes, and a fractured society. Yes, we can put up with these. But we can't stop a lying, drug-addicted, alcoholic sexual pervert from poisoning millions of young minds. We make it a crime for anyone to sell drugs. We call him a drug pusher. But we can't criminalize singers who push drug use. That would inhibit their freedom of speech. Of course, we inhibit many other kinds of speech, but somehow the vaporings of drugged-up singers are sacrosanct, no matter how much damage they cause. This is what happens to a society when it abandons God's code of right and wrong. In this age of self-absorption, when instant gratification of lust is glorified and when self-discipline is held up to ridicule, in this age of self-absorption, all talk of sin is hissed at as judgmental. Americans could do with hearing a bit more of the judgment of God before they get to experience it in the eternal burnings. Perhaps then, made to tremble by the force of God's law, they would seek His mercy in Christ. That's the only real answer to the filthy flood that's engulfing this nation. Only the gospel has the power to save sinners and truly set them free.
Descend, Lord, ascend, Thou art there.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. 5 articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, that's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
I want us to do as we continue our studies in the life of Christ is to follow him on this, his only recorded visit to the city of Jericho, and to consider his mighty works of grace in the city of the curse. Notice what I have termed Jericho, the city of the curse, because I want you to think first of where he chose to do these mighty works of grace. Jericho was a city that had a notable history. You will all remember, I'm sure, that it was the very first city that Israel conquered and destroyed as it entered the promised land of Canaan. You'll remember that its destruction was unique because its walls fell flat. I had the privilege of visiting the site of ancient Jericho. I had the privilege of getting inside the barricades where you're not now supposed to get, and get right up to the face of the ancient wall. See, in old days when a city was destroyed, they would come later and build on top of it. So you can actually see the levels. You can trace the history of the building of the city, level by level. It was very interesting. Scholars dispute and fight over this, but it's very interesting that there is one level of that tell, one level, where there is a clear stratum of pure charcoal. Now remember, this is the city that Joshua burned with fire. The walls fell flat, and he burned it. It was my greatest archaeological find to take some of that charcoal, quite illegally, I'm sure. I know there was no policeman there to tell me, but I'm sure I wasn't supposed to do it. But I got it and kept it safe in my mother's home till I arrived to pick it up one day. And she said, "Oh, that
I just threw that out. At which stage my archaeological career came to an absolute close. I was finished with it from that point onwards. This is the beginning of the biblical story of the destruction of Jericho. God draws attention that from the very beginning when Israel went into the land, there was something about Jericho. He commanded that nothing of Jericho come into the possession of the people. That it was devoted to God in an act of judgment. You will all remember the story of Achan. How Achan took what he thought to be a little of the wealth of Jericho. But it was cursed of God. And Achan and his family were destroyed as a result. Then the Lord announced through Joshua that he would place a curse on anyone who would rebuild this city. Joshua 6 verse 26. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." In other words, any man who seeks to rebuild these walls and rehang these gates and reestablish this city will have his family wiped out by the curse of God for his doing so. But despite that curse, such was the luxuriant situation, the prosperous situation, the promising situation of Jericho, that the children of Israel could not suffer to let it lie in ruins. By the early times of the judges, it had, I think, at least been partially built and inhabited. It's quite possible, of course, that the people were merely living in the area that had had the general name. But I think it had been partially rebuilt and inhabited, because I read in Judges 3:13 that Eglon, the king of Moab, gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees, which according to Deuteronomy 34:3 is the city of Jericho. Further, I read that in David's reign, when his messengers to Hanun, king of Ammon, had been humiliated, he told them to tarry at Jericho. 2 Samuel 10 and verse 5. And there are other references that would lead me to believe that Jericho was an inhabited place. However, it appears that throughout all those years, Jericho remained a small, unwalled, unfortified town, or simply a place of dwelling. It was not until the days of Ahab's great apostasy that it was built and fortified in anything like its original strength. We read in 1 Kings 16 verse 34, "In his," that is Ahab's, "days, did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub." In other words, the curse of God was fulfilled. And something that I would like to take time to expatiate on a little bit, but I don't have too much of that commodity called time. People jump to the conclusion that because they forget, God will forget. But he doesn't. Hundreds of years had gone by since God had announced the curse. It appeared to a loose thinker that the people had been able to challenge it more and more and get away with it. And so Hiel, notice where he comes from Bethel. Hiel the Bethelite, the man who boasted that he was an inhabitant of the place called the house of God. Hiel the Bethelite an apostate through and through, decided he would rebuild Jericho and challenge the memory of God. Or else, he had forgotten all about it. But God hadn't. There's a striking verse in 1 Samuel chapter 15. When the Lord said, I remember what Amalek did to Israel. This was centuries earlier, when Israel was coming out of the land of Canaan, and Amalek laid wait for him and sought to strike off and kill the stragglers, the hindmost, and thereby cause confusion, panic, death, and destruction to the people of Israel. God said, I remember what Amalek did. And he said to Saul, go and wipe them out. I remember. It's a terrible thing when God says, I keep in mind your sin. That's a terrible thing. It's an awful thing for any man or for any nation when God says, I not only keep in mind your sin, but I remember the curse that I have pronounced against your sin. Because no matter how much men deny it, or ignore it, or forget it, the memory of God never plays him false. And he will judge your sin. Of course, the other is equally true when the blood of Christ has been applied and he says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more forever. Then thank God his memory still doesn't play him false. And he says, they are gone and they can never be resurrected. But getting back to Jericho, here is the city of the curse. It stood alone, unique among all the cities of Israel, as the city of the curse. And as such, it is a perfect picture of our fallen world. It was a place of great beauty to this day when you visit Israel. And you go down to the area of Jericho. You go around the little shops in the city or the current town of Jericho. You will find there all the color and all the excitement of a market with fruits and vegetables of every kind. This is still the Garden of Israel. It's a place of great beauty. It's a place of great attractiveness. And yet, as you read this story, it was a place of blindness, exemplified by these beggar men. A place of avarice, exemplified by Zacchaeus. And a place of self-righteous religion, exemplified by the people who objected to Christ going to bring salvation to such a one as Zacchaeus. Here is the city of the curse. And yet, in his final journey into Jerusalem to lay down his life a ransom for the many, on that final journey, the Lord Jesus Christ made sure to visit the city of the curse, to enter into the city of Jericho, to spend some time in that city, and indeed there to announce to the world, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. A theme that Paul later took up as he explained the whole ministry, the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus, when he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, I am come. And he meant specifically, I have come into Jericho. Of course, he meant much more than Jericho. He meant he had come generally. But he was speaking to the men of Jericho. I have come here. I have come to this city of the curse. I have come to this place built upon the curse. This place that seems to cast for all its prosperity and its attractiveness an evil spell upon the souls of men. I have come here to seek and to save that which was lost. There's the story of the Son of Man. There is the story, the very heart of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our world is a place under the curse. Though it has great beauty physically, despite the fall, you cannot help but be entirely amazed at the beauties of God's creation in this world. It's a place of great beauty. It's a place of great prosperity. It's a place that has tremendous attractiveness, a place of opportunity. And yet, it is a place that, because of sin, is under the curse of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.